Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have with us Beverly Ekman, and she is certainly one of my favorite guests. We've had her on many times talking about the cloning of the American mind. She has another book called Education for the New World Order. But she has written a recent essay that has been widely published and widely quoted, going into the background that Big Brother is, of course, collecting files on your children. Why? So they can be watched and monitored all of their lives. Beverly, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, why don't you just sort of fill our listeners in about why you're concerned? I mean, after all, what's wrong with collecting a little data? Don't we need that so that we can follow the child and see how they're developing and making sure that they're really getting everything they should out of their educational system? Or is there another agenda?
Well, the collecting of data used to be limited to academic information, to hard knowledge, substantive knowledge. What schools wanted to know and what government wanted to know is, are our children learning anything? And now that has changed. Schools today, I think, if your listeners can just grasp that schools are not about literacy, they're not about basics, they're not about proficiency at anything. What school is about is mental health. And mental health very quickly is morphing, into political health. And we've seen this before. We've seen it in Europe. We've seen this kind of thing take place where political correctness, whatever that happens to be at the time, and, you know, we say political correctness today. They called it political literacy back in the days of Stalin and Lenin. So it changes. What is politically correct today may not be tomorrow, but then is that really the purpose of schooling? Is that what we want schools to do, to teach political correctness or political literacy, however you want to term it? And what government is collecting today, unfortunately, and has been for about 25 years now, is information about the predilections of the child and the family, how they think, where they're coming from, what their political, religious values are. And when you put it all together and you cross-match it with other data, and all the computers talk to each other now. I mean, most of them do. That's been a big, big push by government over the past 25 years to ensure that federal, state, and local computers all talk to each other. That's where you've got the problem.
And of course, what we're really doing is collecting dossiers, just like they did in the Stasi in East Germany, as you say, under Stalin and Lenin. And people say, well, that could never happen here. But of course, the question would be, why not? We have the same mindset, this elitist mindset, that I think that the important thing is for people to understand that there never was communism in Russia. What you had was an elitist system with a ruling elite, a massive police and military to keep the people oppressed. And what most people don't understand is that starting in 1918, why this was largely funded by American corporations and American banks and our Federal Reserve System. And if you doubt that, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Beverly Ekman, and we're talking today about the government program to collect information on the children and the families across America. Now, most people don't even know these files exist, but they do exist, and of course, there is a specific goal and objective, and why don't you pick up that story, Beverly?
Well, you know, this is what got me started writing about educational issues. I realized early on when I was a teacher, and this was back in the late 60s, 68, 69, that something was very, very fishy. And I realized, of course, the kids were learning much less than I did when I was coming along in the 50s. And then I started looking at this data collection stuff when I got back to Washington, D.C. I was born and raised here, then left for a while, and then came back after I quit teaching. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time to see some tests that were not real tests. They were phony baloney tests. They were not measures of academics. They didn't even talk about academics. It was 61% personality profile. And this really got my attention. And I started doing a lot of research, and so did some parents. And for their trouble, they got a lot of grief for their trouble. We found out, for one thing, that it was already illegal for a parent to see a test. Now, I mean, think about that. Today's parents don't realize that that sounds odd. Many of the parents coming along today, you know, they were asked weird questions on their tests. They're in their 20s and 30s, just like we were, you know. And but they're used to questionnaires. They're used to Oprah. They're used to Sally, Jesse Raphael, all these people that, you know, have folks on television spilling their guts, and they're used to personal questions being asked and magazine surveys of one kind or another that are pretty tactless. So it doesn't seem that weird to today's parents that personal questions are asked. But their children don't even know what the word personal means. They don't have a concept, really, of course, what is personal.
But of course, even more than that, Beverly, it's the fact that they are taking these tests, and they're becoming part of a permanent dossier, and whether it's stored in a file or whether it is stored, you know, in a computer system, there are people who are evaluating individuals. And, of course, in the future, my fear is that this information is going to be used to determine who will get into college, who will get a good job, who will ultimately be given a plus job within the bureaucracy of the government. And that, to me, is extremely frightening.
It is, and that's already happening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Beverly Eichmann, and we're talking really about what's going on in our schools today. This program that they have, and they've had for up to 25 years, of putting together dossiers on intimate relations and intimate details about children, their beliefs and values, but even more about their families. So, Beverly, and now, of course, you've been collecting this information, and you go into this in your book, The Cloning of the American Mind and Educating for the New World Order, and you're writing about this, trying to make the American people understand that the whole idea of the elitist is there's to be no privacy. They want to know everything about everyone, and they want to have it on file so they can determine who is going to get ahead and who will simply be a drone or a worker bee in this new idealist utopia that they are in the process of constructing here in the United States without even the knowledge or consent of the people of this nation.
That's correct. And one of the scarier things about it is that when you look at the professional literature on some of these tests, they call it the interpretive literature, you find out what they are really assessing. In Pennsylvania, for example, it was, and this is a list, what is the child's locus of control? Is the child willing to receive stimuli? Is he willing to conform to group goals? Is he amenable to change? Is he externally or intrinsically motivated? Will he respond to authority figures? Now, when you, the authority figures sounds good to parents until they realize they mean their peers, not their parents. But this has nothing to do with academics. And right on the cover sheets, they will ask how many books and magazines are in your home. Sometimes they'll ask, give me a sample. Write down the names of some books and magazines in your home. What newspapers and magazines do your parents subscribe to? Do they have stocks or bonds? Do they have a refrigerator? Are there are there measuring devices in your home? Is there a dictionary in your home?
What business is that of the educational establishment,
exactly,
or is this being collected for entirely different purposes than the average person even suspects?
They say it's collected to see how a child will do on a curriculum basis, you know, whether he will learn well or poorly. But it's being collected, obviously, for other reasons. Obviously, that is not true. I mean, common sense dictates, I suppose, if you had no books or magazines at all in your home, that might put you a step down in the learning department, but not really, because there's been children that have been deprived in that way. I mean, growing up on farms and so on for years and years and years, when we've had our waves of immigrants, and back in the 1800s and 1700s, and they became lawyers and doctors and so on. So this doesn't hold water, and they know it doesn't hold water. They want more information, and they want to cross-match the information to get as much information about families and individuals as they can. And then, as you are saying, and very correctly, this will determine in many cases whether a child gets into the college or university of his choice. What this really determines is whether the child will be able to have a leadership role. They do not want people with inconvenient opinions having any influence or leadership position. Those are the ones that will be shoved off to someplace else.
In other words, this is really all about molding the society of the future, this utopia
Right.
that these people plan. And you know what, of course, having read the material that you put out, and then reading about this new DARPA gathering information of the Pentagon with Admiral Poindexter. Now, you have to, you know, go to the website. I don't know whether they've taken it down or not, but they've taken the cult symbol of the mystery religions that was on the back of the Great Seal of the United States back in 1782, and then on the back of the dollar bill in 1935, and they put this on basically on the DARPA webpage. This is a satanic symbol of the mystery religions with a caption underneath, "Knowledge is power," and of course the eye there that looks at you from the back of the dollar bill is now looking out over the world. That was their symbol. And we're going to have that up on our webpage, we hope, very, very soon. People need to understand that they are gathering every bit of information. They call it mining. And they're going to, of course, get all the information from your health insurance, from your financial dealings, the information, you know, about what you buy, the information from Echelon about who you talk to and what you say and what your emails say. And these are all recorded. Every fact you say, everything you do is being recorded by DARPA. And of course, you'll have files on your children. Why would you do that in a free society? Well, it's being justified in the name of fighting terrorism, but they're not fighting terrorism. They're still bringing in people from terrorist countries. They haven't sealed our borders. They haven't done anything about the Saudis financing terrorism. We've never done anything about the Saudis who financed Al-Qaeda. Is this really being done because they're concerned about terrorism? Or is this a step along the loss of freedom and the totalitarian regime here at home? What are your thoughts on that, Beverly?
Well, you know, I have a couple thoughts there. Even if it wasn't done for the worst of reasons, even if they didn't know about the satanic cult business and
the emblem they put
on
their
emblem. Webpage. Even if you take that away and say, well, hey, these people are so far removed from that, they don't even know that that's what that is.
Right.
Even if you go that, all you need when you start collecting information, it's too convenient. It's just plain too convenient and too easy. And all you need is a trigger to start using it in a way that is negative as opposed to positive.
You mean if it were falling in the wrong hands?
Exactly.
You're saying that these people who put that emblem up there might just be not very smart,
exactly.
Might be just collecting information, but what would happen if it fell into the hands of really evil and wicked people? Maybe our next president might be Hillary Clinton.
That's exactly it. And in fact, in my speaking engagements many times, you know, there'll be people there from the opposite camp. And I say, okay, you know, I said this during the last administration. I said, you know, many of you probably here today are thinking, well, you know, that you agree with the politics of this administration and the general tenure of the culture. You're not unhappy with it. You know, you agree with the homosexual agenda. You agree with all this, the feminist agenda. You're happy. And, you know, you're not upset about any of this. So you say, fine, collect all the information you want. But let me ask you something. Suppose Pat Robertson had control of the same computers. And you, it was funny because you'd look out over these faces and you knew which ones were which.
And of course, you could say the same thing to them. I mean, how would you like to have a George Bush have that? And then you could say to the Republicans, how would you like to have Hillary have it, right?
Exactly. And then they get it. They get it. And I say, you know, it doesn't matter where you stand politically. The point is you don't uninvent this stuff. Once it's done, it's done. And it can be used for anything. And you can use it to screen people out of the job force, to screen people, young people in particular, out of any future possibility of having a position of influence, in any way. And that, I think, is where we're going with this. As far as the terrorists and all that, that's a great trigger. Because right now, I mean, they were going to have a privacy office, but when 9/11 happened, nobody cared about privacy anymore in government, I can tell you that. And that went just down the drain. And there is one error, though, that I think we're making when we say they are recording everything you say. They are recording every email. They are recording. No, that is not really true. The point is they can record every email. They can record every 800 number you dial. They can put two and two together. You know, they can cross-match all of this information. So where we are right now in the scheme of things isn't that they are doing any of this stuff to everybody, but they can if they want to. It's doable.
Now, are you acquainted with the Echelon system?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
Echelon, of course, is put forward by the National Security Agency, and since it's illegal for our government to listen in on our calls, it was until recently, they let the British do that, and we listened to the calls in Great Britain, because, of course, these people are law-abiding citizens. They would never want to violate the law. And what they did is they recorded these things, and then they had the computers go over them. And the trigger computers then would listen for trigger words or trigger phrases. And then, of course, if they found those trigger words or trigger phrases, then, of course, they would, of course, have a human being actually listen in on it. But they were actually listening in on and recording these. And, of course, all of this data is someplace in this electronic maze. We don't know where it is. But, of course, it was there and it was collected. And, of course, every time you put in a telephone call, there's a record. They know who you called, or at least the number that you called.
If there's a case that comes against you, they can find that stuff.
Right.
Now, this isn't to say they are doing it on everybody. I mean, first of all, they're not organized to do it enough to do it for everybody.
Well, I would say every
bureaucracy is bureaucracy.
But there is a record of every person you called. In other words, their telephone number, and you can go back years to find out who called who on what a day.
Yeah.
Why are they keeping all that information?
Because it's simple to do. It's billing records. And so since somebody has your billing records and billed you and then you have a list of your calls, when you dial your long-distance number and the bill comes at the end of the month, you see every number, don't you?
Sure you do. And no.
Somebody else can too.
Absolutely. But you see, they should not be able to. This should be private, but they're doing away with privacy, Beverly.
That's right.
This is what's so frightening.
That is exactly correct. And the other misconception is that there's one gigantic big computer into which all things flow. You don't need it. Not with all the computers talking to each other.
Amen to that.
You just don't need it. And so the Speedy Express, that's an acronym for a long, long, long thing I won't go into, but that's where most of the education stuff is going. But you can cross-match that with other things. And on the sheets that these kids are filling out for tests and surveys and questionnaires and polls, I mean, the kids are questionnaire to death in one way or shape or form. They're all computerized, so even when they're telling the child, oh, no one's going to see this, that's what they say, and so the child interprets that as anonymous. Uh-uh. It's confidential. Confidential does not mean anonymous.
We're going to be
back.
It
means need to know.
We're going to be back in just a moment. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in
Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 when they went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to remind you about the Be Alive Royal Jelly products. And, of course, if you are out there and you are feeling sort of down, you feel like you need more in the way of energy, why, Be Alive is what the queen bee eats in the hive. It's a product that has actually been taken from the hive and put into capsule form. It's available to you through Be Alive Royal Jelly. And really what Be Alive does is it increases your energy level. And so if you'd like to try Be Alive Royal Jelly products, give them a call at 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And it's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you don't feel better, you don't feel you have more energy, you just call them. They'll give you your money back. They're a good company. We've dealt with them personally for 10 years, and we recommend Be Alive Royal Jelly products. Again, the telephone number, 1-866-233-7500. And then, of course, we would ask you to think seriously about trying Alamax. Alamax is the active ingredient in garlic. It's pure allicin molecule, and of course it's in a capsule form, and you could of course eat about 15 cloves of garlic and get the same amount of allicin. But garlic is good for your blood pressure, it's good for lowering cholesterol, it thins your blood, but of course I'm taking it because I haven't had a serious cold or flu all winter, and everybody else I've been in contact with has. So if you'd like to get Alamax, if I call 1-866-405-4000, that's 1-866-405-4000, and the product is called Alamax. And then, of course, one other item we'd like to mention to you, we carry Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a game that's designed to teach children how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to basically pronounce words phonetically. In about 16 to 20 hours, you can reprogram a child's mind and undo all the harm that's been done with the current LexC type of the reading program. And so basically it's five board games played very much like Monopoly. We've certainly tried playing it, enjoyed it. It'll teach you the sounds of the English language. There's only 40 of them. It'll teach you the 12 rules you need to know to be able to put words together and spell words. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Phonopoly. And I don't think you'll be sorry you did. Most of these programs cost $300 or $400. This one is only going to cost you about $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Beverly Eichmann. And, of course, if you haven't read her book, Cloning of the American Mind, you need to get it. It's a classic book. We carry it because we think it's important. And then, of course, she's written another book, Education for the New World Order. But Cloning of the American Mind is a classic because it goes into what's happening in our school system and, of course, this long-range plan of collecting Tozier's. Now, most people don't know about this. They have no idea this has been going on or why it is going on. So, Beverly, why don't you pick up the story from there? When you tell people about this, are they concerned?
Well, the people who are doing the analysis of the various questions that are what I call phony baloney test questions, they're all behavioral scientists, and I've used that term scientist loosely, but anyway, they're psychologists. And psychology has hijacked the education system, and for a very good reason. They want the children to have a very different outlook from our founding fathers, and it's a socialist outlook. They do not believe that most people are smart enough, intelligent enough, or even good-hearted enough to run their own lives, much less their own government. They do not believe that. And they think also that society has become too complex. Financial things have become too complex to leave it to mere individuals. I mean, you almost are getting to the point where you have to have a PhD to drive a cab, you know? So these are behavioral scientists, then, that are gauging kids' opinions. And it's not just tests in various subjects. There's questionnaires being given out in health, sex questions, finance questions about your parents. How many hours do they spend in the home? Where does your mother go? Does she like to shop? I mean, there's all kinds of questions that have nothing to do with learning anything. But when you cross-match this information with public and private records, okay, what are public and private records? Well, public records are things that you could find, say, by going into a title company, you can find real estate records. By going into health records, you can find, of course, you know, every time you get something for your health insurance, it tells whether you've had a urinary tract infection or whatever. And so they start cross-matching different things. They can take your charge cards, cross-match that information. What videos do you like? Well, that's simple enough to get. You know, you just find out where you rent your videos, then go and find those things. In fact, they tried to do that when they got Bork, you know, for the chief, for the Supreme Court.
Right, when Robert Bork was being...
Robert Bork was running. Yeah, they went down to where he, see if they could find any dirt on him through the nearest Blockbuster, and they didn't, but the point is they went.
Well, I think we remember, of course, during the Clinton administration, they got the FBI files on people, total violations of laws, 1,000 people. They wanted to get all that information because they want to use information against people. That's frightening, especially when Chuck Colson went to prison because he had one FBI file and Hillary had 900 of them, and now she's a United States Senator. We seem to have different measures of punishment. One person is rewarded, the other is sent to prison.
Well, the other thing that's happened is you've added a few years. People are more, I guess I should say less outraged by it. And, I mean, one FBI file was enough to outrage people 25 years ago, which is what we're talking about here. And now, people have been filling out personal questions and so much, you know, that kind of thing for so long that does not upset them anymore. And so 900 files, you know, one file, 900, who cares? You know, I mean, that's the attitude. But it's a big one. But you're right. Yes, there is different punishment. Look what happened to Newt Gingrich when they intercepted a phone message. Now, those persons that intercepted a phone message between himself on a cell phone and the people that he was talking to, first of all, they were former NEA, National Education Association, bigwigs. And then they took it to Congressman McDermott, who's already been going overseas again now, talking. He went to Baghdad saying exactly the opposite of what our president is saying. I mean, whether you like the president or don't like the president, somebody going over there and saying precisely the opposite is treason. You know, I mean, that's all it is. So, you know, we aren't as outraged anymore about intercepting messages, intercepting things, and of course that's why Newt Gingrich wound up out on his ear, because of an intercepted cell phone message. It didn't even mean much to begin with, tell you the truth.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that we're in real trouble. I think that these files are being obtained, they're being maintained, they're being watched. I think they use the term being mined, and we should be very, very concerned. Tape set.
genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me mention a couple of the other products we carry. One of them, of course, is Miracle 2 soap products, and of course, we can't make any health claims at all for what Miracle 2 products do, but we will tell you that an awful lot of people who use our products really like them, and they tell us all sorts of amazing things that it's done for them. And if you'd like to try them, why, we'd be glad to suggest that you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And order, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer, which some people take. It's a very alkaline solution, seems to help with heartburn. And then there's a lotion, and there is a gel. And you can try all of those. You can get a special introductory offer by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you wonder what's really going on in the world today, I mean, sometimes you wonder, why are we going to war with Iraq? I mean, why did we leave Saddam Hussein in power back in 1991? Why did we have a no-win war in Korea and a no-win war in Vietnam? And what's really going on in the world? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it's the end result of my 38 years of study. When I wrote that, traveling throughout the world, talking to admirals and talking to generals and talking to diplomats and ambassadors and even the leader of one major country in the world, and of course finding out about the spiritual forces and about the secret societies and the secret that has been passed down through the ages through the secret societies. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a copy of The Brotherhood of Darkness, or better still, The Brotherhood of Darkness Special. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Beverly Eichmann. Her book is The Cloning of the American Mind, and she goes into this in great detail about how they are getting dossiers on children, and the average parent has no idea. They think that, oh, they're just testing them to find out, you know, if they're learning. No. You see, the whole idea is to change the attitudes and values and beliefs of children, and so many of the tests are really aimed at that, to see if they're doing a good job of transforming the child from being a individual to becoming part of the collective.
Right.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, why, please give us a call. Go ahead, Beverly.
Well, I want to clear up one thing. You know, you were talking about the DARPA and the Total Information Awareness Office, which is the article that you picked up on, and so did a whole lot of other people. You know, they call it data mining there. You know, mining for data, which supposedly will bring to light a potential terrorist. But I called it, way back when I was writing the book, it was data trafficking and information brokering. And even back then, if government could not get its data the legal way, they would go to these information brokers who could hack in and get it some other way. And we won't say illegally exactly, but let's put it this way. They could get sources that we couldn't by putting two and two together by cross-matching things. You see, there's no real law. No one has figured out yet how to write a law that distinguishes between legitimate and illegitimate cross-matching of information. And because they haven't been able to write one that really has any teeth or that even means very much, it's so full of holes, that means if you go to somebody who's really computer savvy, you can wind up with the information you want in the form you want it. Now, the kinds of questions they're asking children in school are based on a technique called psychographics. And I explained that in my book and in several of my articles. They can go to my website, in fact, and look at my articles just to, download them.
Well, why don't you just give that website?
Yeah, this would be a good time to do that. www.beverlye.com. That's B-E-V-E-R-L-Y with an extra E on it. .com.
That's for Eichmann, if those people who
right.
don't know.
why there is the E on the end, right. And that's an easy way to remember it. And then you just click on the published articles list, and you'll find everything that has been published somewhere in some magazine or newspaper by me, and it's linked there. And included are a couple speeches that appeared in Vital Speeches of the Day. The latest one was Bonfire of the Insanities. How do you like that, Dan?
I think that's a beautiful, beautiful phrase. And you know, sometimes I think that the world has gone mad. There are only a few of us who really are sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy.
Right, the inmates are running the... Exactly. And so that's why I don't know, it just came to me one day, and then the rest of the speech flowed from there, and it was received very well. I got about 3 minutes standing ovation, so I guess I did all right. But psychographics is a well-known technique among advertisers. It is a marketing tool. For example, how are you going to sell a new brand of coffee when the shelves of the supermarket are already lined with coffee? Obviously, Starbucks managed it, didn't they? Okay? They opened up, you pay gobs of money for these coffees in this little shop, and the shops are everywhere. Well, the reason they did so well is because they did their marketing homework. They asked a lot of questions, and they did a marketing research. Okay, the way you do marketing research is you poll in a particular way, and it's called psychographics. It's a combination of demographics and psychological factors of where people live, and that tells you the best places to put a new brand of whatever. Okay? Well, they're doing this with kids, except it's not a new brand of whatever that they're selling. They're selling ideas. And here's a list that I came up with of the ideas that they're selling. Actually, it was faxed to me from a teacher in North Carolina who got it at her in-service workshop. And all the teachers at the workshop got this, and she faxed it to me. Here's the values they are supposed to be teaching children. There is no right or wrong, only conditioned responses.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, there's no right or wrong, but what they're basically saying is there is no God.
That's right. The collective is more important than the individual. Consensus is more important than principle. Flexibility is more important than accomplishment. Nothing is permanent except change. We've all heard that one. All ethics are situational. There are no moral absolutes. And finally, there are no perpetrators. Only victims.
I'm sure that Lenin and Stalin and Adolf Hitler and Chairman Mao would have just loved to be able to indoctrinate their children, the generation that would follow with those basic ideas that are being put on our children today. Because the whole thrust of everything going on today is an intense hatred of God. It is an anti-Judeo-Christian bias, realizing that if you can destroy their faith in right and wrong and absolutes in God, then, of course, you can do anything you want to with them.
That's it. It's not just, against one religion. It's the bottom line is they're going to be against all religion in the end, and what is going to supplant religion is psychology. And that is the new religion. And even in many theological seminaries, primarily psychology is taught, not theological principles. And so that's what we've come to. And people don't realize that psychology really has hijacked the schools and is hijacking presently many churches. And there's a good reason for that, because then they can push a political agenda. Suddenly there's no right or wrong. So then you can start a whole new political proposition on that. And if the individual isn't important, which let's face it is the basis of Judeo-Christian ethic, if the collective is more important than the individual, well then that puts the whole constitution into question. everything in it.
Well, of course, they don't bother to teach the Constitution.
No.
Because the last thing they want for children to understand is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. They want children to believe that rights come from the state, and those rights can be taken away because we're a democracy, and if the majority votes to take away your property or tax you or do whatever it is, that's perfectly all right. And people have lost this whole concept of freedom under God, and this is what education is about, not about teaching children how to read and write, but how to change their beliefs and attitudes and values.
Exactly. And in fact, I can give you a couple questions from an actual test that exemplify exactly what you just said.
Go ahead. I mean,
okay. I have them right here. I turned to the right page at the right time here.
You just happen to have these right here.
Well, actually, I have gobs of them. I mean, I could wallpaper the Department of Ed with these things. But anyhow.
I don't think that lets you in, Beverly.
There is a secret club at school called the Midnight Artists. They go out late at night and paint funny sayings and pictures on buildings. I would join the club when I knew. A, my best friend had asked me to join. B, most of the popular students in school were in the club. Or C, my parents would ground me if they found out I joined. Now, this is a fishing probe. It's assumed the child will join the club under some circumstance. What they want to know is what circumstance and what kind of child would select the third choice. My parents would ground me if they found out I joined. They want to find that one for the kid who really wants to not conform, the real nonconformist. But what do you think the correct answer is? I'll just ask your audience out there. What is the correct answer to that question? A, my best friend asked me to join. B, the most popular students in school were in the club. Or C, my parents would ground me if they found out I joined. What's the preferred answer?
Is there a preferred answer?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'd say number two then.
You're right.
Okay. Well, let's go to Roger going in. Because what they want, of course, is not the individual, but the collective.
Right, because if the most popular kids in school are in the club, that shows that you are, the collective good is more important than the individual.
Let's go to Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, we could pray for a return of the days when there's a dearth of material such that it wouldn't take you a whole week.
Okay, you have any...
And what you said about psychology, it brought to mind in the Roman Catholic Church, even the Inside the Church critic Michael S. Rose's recent book, he points out that when the would-be seminarians express any semblance of conventional morality vis-a-vis homosexuality, they get packed off to the more transcendent priesthood, the psychologist, to be delivered from their homophobia.
Now, of course, this is the beast. The book by this gentleman, it was called Goodbye Good Men, and the story of young men trying to become priests, trying to carry out their natural calling, and if they went into the Catholic seminaries of these certain ones and they would not go along with the homosexual agenda, then they sent them to be to the psychologist to be reconditioned. Anything else you want to say about
that? Yeah, more importantly, presumably in every venue you're still able to opt out of the nosy questionnaires, but more importantly, is there, or hopefully everybody listening is doing that, is there a way to opt out of the larger databasification, that your name's at least stripped off and you're disconnected from any, demographic data, let's say, and God bless.
Okay, thank you. Beverly, first of all, can you just say, I don't want my children taking these? Do parents even really know what's going on? And I suspect most parents have no idea what they're really doing to their mind and heart and soul of their children.
Well, most don't, that's true, but a lot are. I mean, I get invited. I have more speaking engagements that I'm asked to do in seminars than I can possibly accept, and they get it. They get it. And the answer to your question is, you can opt out if you are homeschooling. But when it comes around college time, they know who you are. And they also know that you didn't get any training on how to answer those kinds of questions, and you're going to have to take, that child is going to have to take a college entrance exam, and on it are going to be attitudinal questions that he won't have any idea what kind of response to make. I mean, he may know they're bad questions, but he doesn't, he also knows he has to answer them or he isn't going to get in.
But, of course, what they really don't want is children with a Christian upbringing, children who know right and wrong or who have values. This is not the sort of person that they want educated at higher levels.
That's exactly it. And most of the so-called best schools, the ones that will get you the job you want, that will give you a position of influence, that will be denied you because it'll be very obvious that you're not a team player, and by team player they mean the team's more important than the individual, the same old thing. And they don't want, you know, you to be have a faith particularly. They don't want you to be a Bible thumper. You know, you've heard all of these things, but they really mean it. And they can find out these things by cross-matching various types of data. It's not just one question going to get you. It's going to be the combination.
But, Beverly, you know, we have a Republican Christian administration in there. Aren't they doing something about these? Because so much of this is coming down from the federal government. What is the Bush administration doing to put a stop to this foolishness?
They're not even reading it. If he would just read the test, they depend upon foundations that are well positioned, like say the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. They own the Educational Testing Service. Well, owned it, that's an exaggeration a little bit, but it's their spinoff. They funded it, okay?
But why doesn't the Bush administration put a stop to this? I thought we voted them in for this idea no child will be left behind.
And
we're going to get education, not this psychological foolishness.
Indoctrination. I don't really believe, and I could be wrong, of course, on this, but I don't believe the president has ever read any of these tests personally. And if he asks one of his advisors, is this really going on? Are they asking these kinds of questions? Then the advisor will say no, because he'll be one of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. He'll be the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, or he'll be one of these other National Center for Education Statistics. They tried to convince me they weren't doing it. They actually asked me to sit in, and they were going to prove to me that they weren't doing this, and they said I could invite anybody I wanted. I don't know who they thought they were fooling, but anyway, I went, and so I took a Cray expert with me, which a Cray computer expert with me, and they had to bring him in, too, because they already told me that I could bring anyone I wanted. So I got one up from Texas and brought him with me. And then they made a big production of breaking the shrink wrap on these new tests. And they said, these are brand new tests, and we're going to show them to you first. And then this will prove, you know, da-da-da-da. So they break the shrink wrap, pass it out to me, and everyone's gathered in this room, and I look at the cover. And it says, Form N. N as in Nancy. And I said, just out of curiosity, where's form A, B, C, D, E, F, G? And the look on the faces was priceless. Because, you know, they had printed this up for the press or me or a legal team or whoever. You know, this was the form they were going to use for people that were just wanted to see this thing.
In other words, they weren't being honest with you at
all. No. And it was all over their faces. And so, you know, and they do change the forms every year, and they probably, or sometimes they just put the questions in a different order. I saw one that was like that. I thought maybe I had made a mistake because I've got a pretty good memory. And I had, of course, copied the test and Xeroxed it a couple of times so I'd have it in my file and everything. And I saw this one question about, if I were Norma, I would do thus and so if I saw a medicine bottle in my mother's cabinet type thing. And then I read the same thing, I thought, a little bit later, but only it was Michael this time. And I went, wait a minute, I thought I'd seen that question before. Well, maybe I've goofed in the way I Xeroxed this or something. Maybe the 11th grade one is the 8th grade one or something. Maybe I've turned it around. Well, it turned out that they were just 2 years different from each other, and they had just changed the name. That was it, when I went back and looked. So, yes, they're doing this kind of thing and then not letting the parents see it on the grounds that it would compromise the validity of the test. And what I tell parents that ask me to do, I say, look, anybody who tells you that you can't see your child's test, if I can't see it, he doesn't take it. End of subject.
And, of course, they have to have enough children taking this so they can get their data.
That's exactly right.
And, of course, they don't like you because you are getting people to try to opt their children out.
That's right. Now there are some places, like for sex questionnaires, and they do this in health class, but they're computerized, too. Don't forget that. That's because it isn't an official standardized whatever that, you know, goes to the federal government doesn't mean it isn't computerized. So there are some states now that have an opt-in clause. In other words, unless your parent signs a form saying you can take it, you don't get this test. You don't ever see it. It isn't the other way around that the parent has to get the form and opt you out, which is much better.
Beverly, you realize that we're out of time. We could go on for so much longer, but thank you so much for being with us today. And I appreciate everything you do. Goodbye. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we want to mention that we carry a number of items here at Radio Liberty, and certainly one of them, especially in view of now we have gone to the orange level of alert, fear of biological warfare, and the question is, what would you do if there was a biological attack and some sort of an organism was circulating in your community and people were dying of it? Well, the one thing you really need to do is make arrangements right now and begin getting put together the things that you need to build up your immunity and your family's immunity. And there's scientific evidence out there of what can be done. Much of it is laid out in a wonderful book called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, written by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And you can get that book, or you can get the book as well as a 4-tape set entitled Secrets, Life-Saving Secrets, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then, of course, to really understand what's going on today, you have to understand the Central Intelligence Agency. Have you ever wondered who really killed President Kennedy? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald, or was there a conspiracy? Well, here's a book written based upon the papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was Deputy Assistant Director of Covert Operations, in other words, Murder Incorporated of the CIA. These are his papers, the information he left with a gentleman I've come to know very well named Gregory Douglas. The book is called Regicide. That's Regicide. You need to get it. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's Regicide. And you'll find out exactly who did it, why they did it, who they hired to do it, and you'll get all the information about the assassination of an American president that you're never going to get through the regular channels. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Regicide. It's one of the most important... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time, of course, in our program when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out in the listening audience to help us. As 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 3 hours a day on satellite, 2 hours a day on the shortwave, and hopefully soon on many more stations as we begin to try to syndicate our programs, reaching out across America to try to get people to understand the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And earlier in the program, I mentioned my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you have not read it, let me suggest that you get it, or you can either get the book by itself for $12.95 plus shipping, or you can get what we call the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which includes the book, the videotape and an audio tape, and we want you to copy the video and audio tape and get as many people as you can to watch it. Why? Because people have to understand that we're not involved in a political battle or an ideological battle or a cultural battle or an educational battle or an economic battle. We're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on the political, ideological, cultural, economic, and educational battlefield. And, of course, there really are demonic and evil forces in the world today, and you only have to read the history of the wars of this last century to realize that, there were actually 21 million people killed in the First World War, and it was totally useless and nonsensical. Twice that many people were casualties, and many of them carried the pain of their wounds to their death. During the Second World War, between 40 and 60 million people died. The communists killed 60 million people in Russia, consolidating their power, according to Solzhenitsyn in the 1981 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. And, of course, the evidence shows that the Chinese communists killed somewhere between 80 and 100 million of their own people. And according to the Chinese own statistics, 40 million people starved to death in 1959 and 60 and 61, and this is covered in a book called Hungry Ghosts, which you'll have great difficulty getting. Why? Because they don't want you to know about these things. There is evil in the world today. Already over 30 million people, or almost 30 million people, have died of AIDS. 500,000 in America, totally unnecessary. This is an unnecessary epidemic. That's the title of my book. That there is evil in the world today. 40 million people, 42 million more, are now infected with the AIDS epidemic, and I fear, that new epidemics will soon sweep the world. You have to understand what this battle is all about to be effective. And so, if you agree there's a problem, we hope many of you will decide right now to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And then go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our live programs or link to the other programs. And then please tell others about the website, because we have a growing audience. And, of course, we're really dependent upon you to help us get that information out across America. So again, the website, www.radioliberty.com, and of course our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a copy of my latest newsletter, and we just mailed them out yesterday, if you're a member of the Radio Liberty family or you subscribe to our newsletter, our latest newsletter, of course, deals with the danger of biological warfare. It deals with the coming attack on Iraq. We'll be glad to send you a free copy if you haven't had one of our newsletters before. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter. We hope, of course, you'll want to subscribe, but you certainly have our permission to go ahead and copy that, to get it to anybody that you possibly can. The American people have to understand what's going on, or the freedom that we've known here for so long will soon become a memory of things past. Pray for America, and please pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.